Time for a trip down memory lane. What a day it was. July 13th, 1985, Wembley Stadium, London, JFK Stadium, Philadelphia. 150,000 audience, millions, in fact, 2.5 billion tuning in on television for a global first. What else but Live Aid? The perfect occasion for the iconic sound of Queen and its frontman, Freddie Mercury. And to think that Bob Geldof didn't want him to perform, although he does admit now with the benefit of hindsight that he was wrong. Many of us spent the day on the couch. Journalist Barbara Power and media consultant Tony O'Brien were there, and they join us now. And good morning to you both. Barbara, I know you're talking tonight at an event in the National Library marking 40 years since Live Aid and the launch of this Live Aid photographic archive, which is part of the Band Aid Trust archive donated by Bob Geldof. Look, we all have our memories, but you were there. What are your memories?
Oh, Mary, I was so lucky to go. I was just a year in the Indo. I was 26 years of age, covering the courts, covering accidents. And then out of the blue, my lovely friend Paddy Murray, who was a senior reporter, he was scheduled to go. He was a huge Beatles fan. And of course, the big rumour was that there was going to be a reunion. And he was so excited and to go. And then at the 11th hour, he said to me, "I can't go. Will you go?" And I couldn't believe my luck. So off I went. I accompanied two competition winners from the Herald. Off we went to Wembley. We had amazing seats. So the stage was at 12 o'clock. We were sitting at 2 o'clock. We had a perfect view. My favourites, Status Quo, I was into them for 10 years. Couldn't believe they opened. But of course, then it just got better and better. 32 minutes of Elton John. But like so many people, for me, Queen were absolutely the best act. And, you know, a tea time favourite. And yeah, I was singing along with my heart, you know.
I envy you even at this remove. Do you know that? I was watching a documentary on BBC Two earlier in the week. Bono was saying, I think he's never watched the Live Aid gigs since because he still regrets the mullet he was sporting at that time. But Tony O'Brien, how did you find yourself there, Tony?
Well, it's very interesting. I'm not going to give my age like Barbara did, if you don't mind. But it was interesting how I found that I was found myself there. I was a news journalist for The Independent and The Herald, but I had a nice sideline as a music critic. And obviously after Band Aid came Live Aid, and I put it to my news executive bosses that this is going to be a huge event. We should be covering it. It was being led by an Irishman, Bob Geldof. And they said, "Yes, that's great. Yeah, you make the arrangements." But then I said, there was one problem. There are no free media tickets. And they said, "What do you mean?" Because the ordinary ticket price was £25. The media had to pay £100, which in 1985 was a considerable sum of money. So that was my first hurdle. But that got me entry to a special enclosure just above the Royal Box, so I could see the back of the heads of Charles and Di and Bob and Elton John and George Michael and that. So that's how I was there. But it was an incredible day. As Barbara said, it was a remarkable day, and you won't see the likes of it again. And you mentioned two important acts on the day, and that was U2 and Queen. Mm. I wasn't a particular Queen fan, but that day was mighty, especially Radio Gaga, watching from the stand with the hands in the air. And then U2's performance, and Bono in particular, I think that moved them to a certain level. They were already well known, or very, very well known, and really making it internationally. But that performance alone moved them up a couple of levels again.
Yeah, it did. Barbara, one of my colleagues, Joe, was saying to me this morning, he said, what was it like? Because, of course, Joe wasn't born when Live Aid happened, you know. And it is hard at this remove to explain to people how really special it was. We'd never seen the likes before. So many bands playing in so in two locations. And it broadcast to the world. I mean, people didn't believe Geldof could pull it off. And I think he did it because of the sheer chutzpah of the man, but also those around him who made it happen.
Yeah, well, you know, Mary, when you think of it logistically, like there was no Zoom then. How did they manage to, you know, tie up all the ends of 50 bands, two locations, I don't know, 13 satellites? I mean, that fax machine must have been going like mad. I know Paula Yates said they had two phones on the go at home. But like, fair play to them how they pulled it off. I mean, it was memorable. And I'm big into photography, but I didn't take any photographs on the day. I'm amazed because I think I just lived in the moment. My eyes were out on sticks. And like the hardest thing was to decide when to go to the loop, because like the acts were just coming on one after another. Yeah. I think I went out during Nick Kershaw at one stage. He wasn't really high on my list of priorities. But then I found myself backstage and the tickets that the Herald had got us. And like I was there chatting with the bassist from Status Quo, Tony Hadley from Spandau Ballet. He was living in Dublin at the time.
Memories,
they were over,
rehearsing.
Forget. Yeah, absolutely.
I think Nick Kershaw is actually in Cavan.
Navan.
Gavin Jennings tells me this weekend.
The Round O Festival this Saturday.
So there you go. And people, Tony, might not remember now, because actually it doesn't matter. The crowd sang along. But didn't the microphone fail?
Yes,
Paul McCartney.
I often wonder what people back home watching it on the telly thought, because they were hearing Paul McCartney, but we in the stadium couldn't, because his onstage mic failed. And that recent TV documentary, one of the production staff actually apologised for it and said he never worked with Paul McCartney again. But it didn't take from the event overall.
It was
just fantastic. And while I wasn't quite where Barbara was, In the area I was, it had its own restaurant and all of that. And the one person who came in was Sade. So I have Sade's autograph in my program.
A nice one to have as well. Listen, Tony and Barbara, thank you both for remembering Live Aid for us today. And Barbara will be in the National Gallery tonight, the National Library, I should say, for the launch of that Live Aid photographic archive. So if you want to relive the memories, you can go along and see that. That's Barbara Parr and Tony O'Brien at a minute to nine.